What's happening now? The best show, post show. 30 minutes of relatively rapid fire, unscreened calls. My name's Tom. I'm the host. I'm not the host. I'm one of the participants in this. I'm also the host of the best show, but I'm here with the gang, and it isn't the half hour power without this guy. It's AP Mike. How are you, Mike?
Howdy, howdy, Tom.
Howdy?
Yeah, I'm going with howdy.
Okay, tonight. Great. So over here,
mix it up. My greetings.
Thanks for mixing that.
Cowboy Mike.
Yeah.
And there he is, the man. Yeah. Who knows how to work the microphone, unlike these other guys who... It's jealousy, isn't it?
It is. It really is. Yeah.
Oh, man.
The fact that he puts the thing right
up
to his mouth.
Yeah, the deep tones,
yeah. He's not afraid of the mic. No. He's not swallowing the mic, but he gets it right up to his mouth.
And you project.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You get up to it and you project.
From the diaphragm?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, of course, Pat Byrne. Pat, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Look at Pat now projecting. Very good. Like you got it more up on your right?
Yeah, I'm absorbing it just from sitting next to Dudio.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you need to work in a little bit of the Dudio has going. Right? How's it going?
You want me to try it?
Yeah.
How's it going?
A little too. You actually sounded more trebly than. You just got to go. Jason's like, hey, what's up? Enough of that. We have two guests tonight. One of the funniest guys going. He's the host of the special without Brett Davis, which can be seen every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on what now is it on?
It's on the internet. I don't know a single person that actually watches it on TV.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No one lives in Manhattan.
Uh-huh. No.
The idea like...
It's on YouTube.
Yeah. Like, hey, I live on 25th Street and I pay $250 a month for cable and I watch your show. But people can find it every Wednesday night live on the internet, and then it goes up on YouTube as a show they can watch. Brett Davis is here. How are you, Brett?
I'm doing fantastic.
It's so exciting to have you here, and of course we'll have you for a full, proper best show, but it's nice to have you here for this. I've known you for so long.
Yes.
You used to call the best show as a young high school student.
Yes.
Right? What was the first call you made?
I think it was about 10 seconds long.
Okay.
Quickly gumped back when that was the method of canceling a call.
Dispatching.
Yeah.
You also had an early champion helping you shape your calls and mold your calls.
Oh,
not me. I was ready to dump you. At the drop of a hat, but you had
and rightfully so. I'm not
sure. I didn't say it was wrong. Uh-huh. I'm just saying. But you had Mike coaching you on these calls.
No, it's more like just encouraging him. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't tell him what to say. He was doing that on his own. But you know, every week when he got gomped, I would just tell him, keep calling, because I enjoyed the calls.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's safe to say that whatever success I have in the entertainment industry, both you and Mike will always have a thank you in the liner notes.
Well, wait, that's it?
Well, amongst other things.
Write our names in a thing? First of all, what are you putting an album out in the liner notes?
It's a figure of speech.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, Brett, it's so great to have you. And in all seriousness, it really is awesome to watch you just get better and better each year, because you're a super funny guy.
It was hard for a few years, probably.
Well, you're doing it now.
Yeah.
So you are joined by your friend, Mitch. Mitch?
I just met Mitch tonight.
You did?
He's
Mitch is my roommate.
Guy.
Mitch is Pat's roommate.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he's a Sorry, musician uh-huh. and a good dude.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi.
Now look at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you doing it right?
Take him.
That's respectable.
All right.
All right.
I should say
from
he's
the master.
He's also a sound guy, formerly of Maxwell's
okay.
Tavern.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
He knows what to do. Half hour power.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. This is John in Portland.
John in Portland. What's up, John?
I just had a sort of a discussion topic. I was thinking about the worst albums from your favorite artists, and I thought it was kind of an interesting thought experiment.
I think that's a very interesting thought experiment. The worst album from your favorite artist. What's yours,
I can give you an example if you want.
Yeah, what's
mine
yours?
I was thinking about it, and like I'm a huge Jay-Z fan, and I think easily Blueprint 3 is his worst album because it's like...
It's terrible.
He's in... What'd you say?
I said it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean like he's still in the post-retirement like weak flow era, and he's trying to regain his relevance at the same time, and I really hate it.
He never got it back. I think we can kind of say now. He had super successful moments with in terms of straight-up popularity, but he never got all the way back.
Oh, no, not all the way, but I think Watch the Throne is pretty strong.
That sucks. You know that sucks.
I love it.
And it came out at the worst possible time when, like, the American economy was falling apart, and then you have a video where these guys are sawing a Maybach apart. Yeah.
Sure, but there's a lot about survivor's remorse and you know, the struggles of being a famous black man in that album.
Yeah, but he's done that stuff so much better in other places.
Sure, sure.
Jay-Z, let's go around real quick though, John. I want to go around the room.
Okay.
Thoughts about Jay-Z, Mike? No thoughts, right? You don't care.
I like that New York song.
Okay, that's on the album we were just saying is terrible. But Dudio,
I've always been more of a Kanye fan.
Guy didn't even sample. He did the worst. Guy had all of. This is what this guy did. He had all of the King Crimson songs to sample. Did the wrong sample. Had all of the Can. He had all of Can's songs to sample. Sample Sing Swan song. That's what you sample? What about Vitamin C, right? You tell me why he didn't sample this? No.
That's good.
Paul Thomas Anderson beat him to the punch, put it in Inherent Vice.
Yeah.
And then it's in the Get Down.
Is it?
Yes. It's the music every time Jaden Smith is on screen.
How is that, the Get Down?
I know a lot of people hate it. I love it.
I've wanted to watch it.
I love it. Do you think I got choked up in the last episode? I'm really close to having a huge crying fit at some point. When I was watching that, I got super... What is... I'm ready to just...
You got a cry coming up.
I'm sleeping 3 hours a night.
Yeah.
Stretching myself so thin. I push and life pushes back.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm at the edge, Mike.
I was crying this afternoon in the bar I work at.
What brought that on?
They've been showing a thing on ESPN. I mean, just turn on ESPN between now and the game tomorrow. You'll probably see it. It's a story about a young boy, a fan of the Cubs.
Okay.
And he had a rare disease of his eye.
Uh-huh.
He lost his eye, essentially.
Oh.
And so then, you know, he had to go through the whole thing of having a prosthesis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, the kids... You know, there was an incident where he accidentally flipped the eye around and, you know, freaked the other kids out, and then they started calling him a freak. But then he turned it around, and He got a prosthetic eye that had the Cubs symbol instead of the pupil, you know, and he just kind of like brought it in, and then he became the head of the school, and brought a tear to my eye.
That would do it. Yeah, I get it. Double thing, Pat, Jay-Z, and crying.
Where do I begin? Put your hands together. No, I like Jay-Z. I like him better than Kanye, for sure, as just a dude who isn't...
Dude who's shaking his
head. Yeah, he's shaking his head
like
next
he
to me.
He knows all.
What was that group Jay-Z was in before he was Jay-Z solo? He wasn't the
Original Flavor?
I'm sorry? Original Flavor?
Original Flavor?
What?
The Commodores.
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 No, that was Lionel Richie.
Right, that's Lionel Richie.
It was Lionel Richie, not Jay-Z.
I've heard some stuff of that that's, I like, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's fine. I have no problem with him.
All right. Yeah. And crying?
Crying, I endorse. I think it's a natural thing. You let it out. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it in a while, not trying to brag, just saying it hasn't happened. But sometimes I'm like, man, I should just, if I could get this out, that would be great. If I could just have a good cry tonight and get it out of the way. Yeah. I'm home by myself. Yeah. Let's just do this system.
And it doesn't happen.
And it doesn't happen.
No.
Yeah. I was really frustrated like earlier this year because I felt it coming on and it didn't happen. And then it just leads to more anxiety, right?
Yeah.
And it
comes out in weird ways.
Yeah.
So what's a movie that or a song that can make you cry? Anything that
gosh.
If you're right on the edge that pushes you over.
I'm going to let everybody go around and I'm going to think of that.
Brett, first of all, Jay-Z, where are you at on all that stuff?
I think he's fine for a very rich, successful guy.
Yeah.
He could be more evil. It seems like he's not. But
I
know?
That's a real glowing endorsement. He could be worse.
He's got some great songs, I think. Yeah.
But there's just that point where it's hard to like root for like the guy on top.
Yeah.
Because he's now like that's why whenever it's like Drake and Meek Mill, it's like look, I don't think Meek Mill is any good really, but it's just like slobs getting picked on by everybody. It's like, what, I'm going to root for Drake over this guy?
I feel like Jay-Z's in that stratosphere where now he's just inventing, like you know, the throne thing. Mm-hmm. You know, just inventing these new levels of hierarchy that don't actually exist because he's kind of bored.
Yes, there's nowhere to go. Like, I mean, it's been, when's the last time he put an album out? Was it the Blueprint 3? I think that might have been his
Magna
last.
Magna Carta 2013.
Oh, that piece of garbage. That's right. That terrible. Another terrible album. Right? Right, John?
I think it's all right. It's not as bad as Blueprint 3.
Not as bad. Well, there you go. Just like he's not as evil as he could be. Magna Carta, Holy Grail is not as terrible as Blueprint 3. And crying, Brett...
I think crying's good if you're doing it and you're not obsessed with how sad you are. I think it feels healthy.
Sure. Are you good at it?
I think I'm good at it. I shed a tear this weekend. I went to Kurt Braunohler's hotel play.
Oh wow! Yeah, I did not get to go. He did it for a couple days, for 2 days, with Lauren Cook, right?
Yeah, and that was incredible. And I shed a tear.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which it's hard. I don't cry in sad movies or anything. So,
I think those are the best cries.
Yeah,
when it's like something inspiring, you know, or like an act of kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I cry at those a lot.
I told you, I cry whenever people stick up for people. Is when I cry, like when in those, like in a superhero, like in Superman 2, when Superman, they're like, they throw him across the thing, and then suddenly the slobs on the street are like, hey, you can't do that to Superman, because he's their guy.
Yeah.
He's sticking up for Superman.
Similarly, anytime there's an animate object, like a robot or something, mm-hmm. that gains emotions, mm-hmm. but has a childlike view of the world, mm-hmm. that gets me.
That
like
gets
Short
you.
Circuit
uh-huh.
will always get
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. Oh, I'm tearing up thinking about that.
What
right
about
now.
AI? What about that guy in AI?
You know, I don't know.
What about Wally?
Wally, perfect example.
That's a big one. What yeah. do you think? And you're like...
What about Chappie?
I'm not going to see Chappie. I don't know. Maybe I'll cry. I probably would cry if I watched Chappie.
You know what? I saw Chappie and I did feel some feelings.
Stop it.
I honestly did.
Yeah. You felt feelings for Chappie?
I did.
Or for Deont Wood?
No, it was all for Chappie.
It was for Chappie.
But in rethinking what makes me cry, since we're talking about Pixar mm-hmm. a little bit, Up, that's a big... That's a big yeah. tearjerker.
Yeah. Mitch, what makes you cry?
You know, loss of loved ones and that kind of stuff.
No. Okay.
Sorry to bring it down.
No, yeah. Of course.
You're talking about crying.
Yeah, of course.
But,
the real life things.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, anything in art that makes you cry? Any
yeah,
art?
I mean, there are songs or movies or things like that sometimes...
Well, what's a song that can make you...
Just hit, like almost cried at this show I was at this weekend. I saw a band I really like called Reviver.
Okay.
And they have a couple songs that mm-hmm. do that to me.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
And Jay-Z?
I think you pretty much covered Jay-Z for me.
Yeah.
Man at the Top thing, I don't really pay much attention to him anymore.
Yeah. It's like I stopped listening to Howard Stern as soon as, like, he won.
Yeah.
Like, because for me it was like when he would do, like, the funeral, like when he did that funeral for the guy in Philly, John DeBell, I thought that was the mm-hmm. most insane thing I ever heard, because he was like, he went to it, everybody was like, your show's not going to translate if you go to bring it to a different city, and he's like, I'm going to run the top guy out, and then I'm going to hold a funeral for the DJ in the streets. Like, and they did a funeral for the zookeeper, which is still one of like the most strangely triumphant things to like. But then after that, he's just like, he just did nothing but succeed. And I remember like when he was like, he's like, I got private parts coming out, and it's going to be like, running, like there were theaters in New York running it 24 hours a day. There were theaters like that literally were showing it at 4 in the morning, just ready for the demand of this movie. And I was saying to Terry, I was just like we can see this thing. It's like, we better figure this out. Like I don't want to miss out on this. And then like, we go to this theater in the Bronx, and it was like empty. It was like the day it came out, and the theater was like 1/5 full at like 4 in the afternoon. We're just like,
and you're in the Bronx.
In the Bronx, right? Jesus. Prime real estate for this guy, and it was just like, oh, that's what happens when you just overhype a thing.
Yeah.
Everybody believes the thing. So, well, John, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's hard to root for the guy on top, right?
That's why I stopped. I was telling Duty out there, I mean, I don't really follow baseball anymore, but when I was a kid, like, it was really exciting when the Yankees won that first World Series in however many years it was, like 96 or something?
90, yeah, late 90s.
95, 96,
98.
Because they beat the Braves.
Right.
Who were like the favorites.
They were the favorite.
Point.
And my dad is a big Yankees fan, so mm-hmm. I was like a kid with him rooting for this team. But then after that, when they kept winning every year and they were just this millionaire ass mm-hmm. I'm sorry. There we go.
Of all the people.
Of all the people.
Is Pat number one? Yeah, he's the first.
That's
yeah.
me. I got carried away.
I haven't cursed yet.
Anyway, Yankees.
You want to curse?
No, no. I got something coming up later that might be borderline.
Okay. The benefit is I'm the editor of this. Oh, I can edit it. You can edit it out.
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining.
I love that you're saving your curse.
I'm surprised.
I was surprised.
I'm not disappointed. I'm just truly surprised too. Like I would not have expected right. you. Half hour power.
Hey, how's it going, Tom? It is the unpredictable J. George calling in.
J. George? Oh, this is the wrestler, J. George.
Yeah.
The guy who, your manager is actually here with us, J. George.
We got him, Tom. Yeah. We did it.
Yeah. You did it? Your team is now called Friends of Tom, I saw, which.
It shouldn't it be Friends of AP Mike? Can we get that changed? Is it too late?
Well, no.
We gotta represent the best show, man. This is about spreading the word, letting people know that the show's back.
Okay.
You know,
thank you.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, sure, AP Mike's a big part of it, uh-huh. but I think the bigger picture is the best show here, no?
Yes, you're 100% right. What is Mike's thing? We don't want to give it away yet. Nah. Mike is going to be managing you and Jeff Cannonball. Your duo, when you wrestle on November 18th out in Queens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think, I mean, we still have to work out the details, but I don't think it's giving anything away to say that Brett has already signed on to be my attaché.
Yeah, he has for a plus one, if you will. But Brett Davis is an exceptional addition to the roster.
I'll say this, Mike hitched his wagon to you, Brett.
Yeah.
Well, his star is climbing. I mean, you know.
I gotta get.
Well, I will say I was tagged in a tweet from someone that I met earlier that was putting on this show, and it said, "Today I got to meet Pat Byrne and AP Mike's attaché." And there's.
I want to say hello to you guys, by the way. I didn't know you guys were in the studio.
Uh-huh. How's it going?
Yeah, they're here. Brett's here. Mitch is here. Pat's here.
Hey.
Dudio's here. So this is going to be very exciting, the idea that Mike is now making his professional wrestling debut. Mm-hmm. Do you think he's going to get the crowd riled up?
You know, Tom, I was there in Philly when you guys did the live show, and I'll never forget that moment when Mike came out, and everybody just went into a frenzy.
Everybody went nuts.
Hoping, yeah,
right?
I was part of it, you know?
The sold-out show at Union Transfer. What an exciting night that was.
That was a fun show.
Wasn't that fun?
Yes.
And when the crowd, everybody went nuts when you came out.
I don't know. I think maybe they knew I had some bootleg DVDs I was going to give out at the end of the
thing. Tom, you remember the mic chant?
Yeah, I know. Look, it's so great. It's so great to see. I love it. I love it. Uh-huh. It's so much fun to see people give be able to show their appreciation and admiration for. Because, look, John and I got plenty of it when we would do those shows, so I know what it's like to do, because we do this show in private, basically. It's not in front of an audience. And so to do it in front of people and get an immediate reaction like that, it's amazing. It's the opposite of what we do here every week. So I was so glad to see Mike get that response.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that's kind of like what wrestling is. You know, we go out there and go for that response, and I'm hoping to replicate that one more time with Mike getting out there and sending the crowd into a frenzy. Which, look, it's going to happen either way.
What do you think of this angle that I'm working on? You know, I thought I'd just go after the locals, you know, just start putting Queens down. I used to live in Queens, actually. I may not. How far is the Moose? No, it's not a Moose. It's an Elks Lodge, right? on Queens Boulevard. Yeah. How far is it from Union Turnpike? Because I lived.
Depending on what time you get out there, if you're avoiding, the traffic is what's going to kill you. It'd be adding 40 to, you know, to an hour, 40 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I will point out that this means if you attack the locals, this means that the Friends of Tom team will be very much bad guys.
Oh, wait a second. We're not bad guys?
I think we are, but I think it's just more so about the, you know, we're just a couple of misfits, you know?
Because I don't...
We're like everybody else does Bob's Burgers, and we're sitting over here trying to figure out what our name is.
I can't think of a good manager. All the managers that come to mind were bad guys.
Yeah. You gotta attack it. That night we were taking on the team we're taking on are called the Super Savages. One is a caveman, and the other one's a superhero. So, go figure.
This is what I want to see you do, Mike. I want to see you go up to one of these super savages, right? And you just slap them across the face, right?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
That's what I want to see. I want to see you slap them across the face.
No, that's not happening.
Open palm slap.
You know, I'm just thinking because, I don't know how long I can keep this thing going. Maybe I could have a falling out. With George.
Oh, no, Tom.
No.
Mike, you're going to do fine. You got that Brett there in the corner.
I wouldn't mind getting laid out. That might be interesting.
You're not telling the whole... You don't have to tell the whole book.
I'm throwing ideas out as they come to me.
This...
Spitballing, I think they call it.
Blue sky. I want you to go backstage. Uh-huh. And when you see the super savages back there...
You think I'm going backstage with those guys? You're nuts.
For sure. You think you're not going backstage? You're nuts. You're going to be back there with these guys.
You'll have to get dressed in your sequin suit.
Exactly. What do you think?
I'm just going to go with a hat, a funky hat.
Yeah. Like Jamiroquai, your cowboy hat?
Jamiroquai. That would be the perfect angle.
That would be a good hat.
Yeah. Why don't you get a hat like the one guy in Fat Albert's gang where it just goes over his
face
and cut two eyes out?
That'd be interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Dumb Donald.
Dumb Donald. Yes, thank you, Pat. Dumb Donald. Well, I think, Mike, this is going to be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be so funny, and everybody's going to love it because it's going to just be insane.
See, I envision it like people are going to be like, who is this idiot? Mm-hmm. You know, what's he doing here?
Yeah, but that's what's anybody
and
doing?
And kids are going to be spitting on me.
They're not going to spit on you.
I think you should wear the cowboy hat.
You get spit hat on.
Uh-huh. Mike, they're not. It's going to be a blast.
Okay.
I can't wait.
November 8th?
18th. 18th. It's a Friday.
November 8th is election day.
That would be great if it was on the 8th, right?
Yeah.
I love that this is happening, John George. I love it. And, say hi to Jeff, and I can't wait to hear more about this.
I'm sorry, Tom. Thank you for making all this possible. This wouldn't be happening without you and the rest of the crew over at the Best Show. Have a good night, guys.
You too, buddy. Night. It's going to be so funny.
Yeah.
Everybody in Queens, if you're in New York, you have to go watch AP Mike manage this wrestling duo, Friends of Tom, as they fight the Super Savages. As they wrestle the Super Savages. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, though, this is what if you do what you're going to do, I think you go up to the one guy, and you just go like, you do like that head thing. You're like, you go toward him, right? And you watch him flinch. And then you go, and then like, you go, yeah, I thought you would. And then as he starts explaining something, as he's like, yeah, well, you do, that's when you just slap him across the face. You're just like, the second he starts talking, you're like ready for the next thing, and you just slap him.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right?
That sounds good
hard.
To me.
Yeah. Hard slap, as hard as you can do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Thing.
And I won't tell him that this is coming.
No.
The element of surprise is key.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's when I get laid out.
No, that's when.
That's when I die. That's when I die. You're right. Yeah, yeah. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
They got concrete floors there. Probably. Yeah. I'm thinking it's an Elks Lodge.
You're gonna get murdered.
Yeah.
That's when you get murdered.
Okay.
By a wrestler, and I will be frantically deleting this show.
Don't they know you're loco?
Yeah. Oh, okay. That could be my catchphrase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Mike. Everybody knows that you're a guy from the streets. You're not living up in the penthouse.
No.
But you always find these interesting things that spark your curiosity and your interest. Yeah. Well, is there anything that's crossed your plate?
Well, I think my fans would really chew me out if I didn't bring up an incident that occurred on Sunday during the Bills-Patriots game. Did anybody see this game?
No, I know what this
okay.
is. First of all, I just want to say, we could probably stop your whole thing at my fans. my fans would chew me out.
Yeah, no, I know they're waiting. I've already had people. So, wanting me to bring this up.
So and, a football game in Buffalo.
In Buffalo. And during a play, all of a sudden, this dildo sort of sails into the picture. I mean, whoever threw this thing onto the field, I mean, they could not have thrown it into the camera angle better. It just sails right into onto the field where the play is still going on. And there it is, you know, and it's clear. I mean, it's small, but you can still tell what it is. You know,
it wasn't that small. It was rather
well. I'm saying the camera angle wasn't on the field.
Right.
It was a sort of distant shot, and it's not getting talked about much on ESPN or I was listening to Mike Francesa yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was hoping at least one caller would try and get his goat by, bringing it up. I didn't hear one call. They let me down. But now people are posting pictures. Well, the other thing is the clip also shows the referee did not want to pick it up with his hands. So he just kind of kicked it off to the side. But now they're posting pictures of this thing, and somebody had scrawled across it, Brady's dildo, and I don't know. I thought it was like something that Salvador Dali might have been proud to see, something like that. It was a surreal scene,
sure.
In the NFL.
Sure.
Have you seen the clip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's funny, right?
I think it's very funny. I think it's hilarious.
When you saw the clip, did you think Mike better bring this up on the Half Hour of Power?
Well, as one of his fans, I was like, I'm going to chew this guy out if he doesn't bring it up. I was like, if he doesn't bring this up, I'm chewing him out. No, I didn't think that. So that was a highlight of the week.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to start a trend, though. You know, I mean, something like this gets a lot of attention. Well, online.
All it took was that first streaker to do
it.
Yeah,
I have a feeling this isn't the first toss marital aid we're going to see. You know, in other sports, maybe basketball. You know, they have the hat trick in hockey, maybe,
we're in the middle of the World Series. I mean,
so instead of throwing an octopus on the ice, you're wondering if, like, sex toys will
sex
get thrown
toy.
Onto the onto the ice.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the big question also is, considering the tight security at most NFL stadiums, how did this person get that inside? You know, it wasn't small. You know, I imagine it must have been in a handbag of some sort.
Well, I don't think it's on the list of things you can't bring in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I
wonder
if it would
even question it.
If it would show up on the radar.
I'm just going to point out, so it's on the list of things that you can't bring to maybe a, let's say, a public sporting event.
Right. Uh-huh.
And Mike is going to be going to Queens.
Yeah.
And insulting the locals.
People. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you're saying there's something that could be connected there.
Perhaps.
People are going to reach whatever conclusions they're going to reach.
I thought of a smart way you could deploy it and have it descend is attach. Find a way to attach one of those parachutes that like go on like an army man or something and throw it up and have it just go down into the ring really slowly. So people are going like, "What is that? Oh my god!
Oh no!"
Yeah. I thought you were going to say t-shirt cannon.
What about a fishing rod?
Jason, you know what's going in that t-shirt gun.
Now, Mike.
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing, and this is me stepping slightly outside of my comfort zone to explain this to you. Sneaking that into the stadium is probably the easiest thing you can do if you're a guy, because you can kind of just put it in your pants.
Uh-huh.
And you're not getting x-rayed if you go through the thing. And even if you got a pat down, somebody would not question the idea that...
That's it. Yeah, okay. I see your theory.
Yeah.
It's plausible.
Well, even if in that way, if they had like one of those backscatter machines and they saw it and they was like, oh, he's got two. Okay. That happens.
Yes. It would just be, they would have to probably just say, look, there's 70,000 people at this game. Mathematically, there's going to be one person here with two penises at the game. Is that what you're saying?
That's just statistics.
Yeah, it's just the way math works out sometimes. And, yeah, okay. That's how, Mike.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it's not like...
Nobody's come forward to, claim it or,
You mean at, like, the Lost and Found? Like, nobody's gone to Buffalo Stadium saying, like, you have a Lost and Found box here?
You think the launcher might have come forward by now, given, the attention it's gotten online. No one has stepped forward to...
But they probably don't want to lose their season tickets.
Yeah, you're right.
They probably have amazing seats.
Yeah.
And they don't want them taken away, because that'll be the fastest way to like. There's no case you can make.
You're right.
It was an accident.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swear I didn't mean. I seriously don't.
Somebody
know.
Hit my arm.
Yeah. Imagine this though.
Okay.
You. Are a resident of Buffalo, New York. Mm-hmm. You are a fan of the Bills for the entire time they've been there. Mm-hmm. You can't make a game, so you give your tickets to someone at work.
Mm-hmm.
They decide they hate the Patriots, so this coworker or whoever decides they're going to throw a sex toy at at the Patriots. From your seats that your family has had for generations. And you now lose your seats that you have to tell your children. You know those games when you were old enough I would start taking you to the games and it's just like, that's probably not going to happen. We're banned from the stadium. Our entire family's banned from any seat in that stadium.
Yeah.
Because you know that guy I work with, right? You met that guy at that picnic. Remember we had that picnic and that one guy was there.
Uh-huh.
Well, I gave him the tickets because we had that confirmation to go to on Sunday. We couldn't make the game. And then he threw a sex toy at Gronk. So our family, we lost the money for the seat. First of all, they took the money, so we lost $11,000, like, that we cannot get back.
He almost bonked Gronk with the dong. No, I didn't. I almost got it.
You almost had it. You almost had it. He tried to bonk.
Okay. All right. Gronk.
Yeah.
Donk.
I don't think it's possible.
I call it a donk.
Yeah. the second coming of Nipsey Russell, Mike, with his poetry. Uh-huh. Now, Mike, where can people say hi to you if they want? You're less frequently at masses over the
winter. The football season. I won't be there on Sundays. But, I'm working at another bar in Bayonne called H&H's Pub. And, unfortunately, my schedule changes week to week. This week I'm working Friday and Saturday. So if people are around, they could stop in. It's a fun place.
Okay. And that's H&H.
Yeah.
In Bayonne. Okay. Jason, any shows?
Yeah, so this will go up on Friday. So Bridge and Tunnel has a show tomorrow at the People's Improv Theater at 10:30.
And Bridge and Tunnel is your sketch
sketch group.
Group, yes.
Yeah. And then I'm also in a show that's doing a spank at UCB Chelsea on November 10th.
Now what is a spank?
Spank is basically an audition to have a regular running show there for maybe like 5 or 6 months.
Okay.
Kind of like Dead Dad's Club had a spank and then we got the run out of that.
Yes.
Called Monsters Exist. That's actually a very fun show. So
okay.
November 10th at 6:30 UCB Chelsea.
Okay. And now then people can always get you on Twitter at Sonic
Dork. At Sonic Dork.
Yes. Pat.
Hey.
Hi. Anything going on? How was your show last week?
It was great.
How was Prove It All Fright?
It was one of our better ones that we've had in a while, and we had a packed house, and I was very excited. Blair Saki was very funny.
Awesome.
And Reverend Billy. So, yeah, that will be up on Vimeo soon, vimeo.com/WFMU, and hopefully clips I'll post on my Twitter, 1-800-PAT-BURN, and we'll do the next one in a month or so, and hopefully people come out.
And every Saturday night, you're on WFMU, 9 to midnight.
That's right. You can hear me each and every week, 9 to midnight.
And the WFMU silent fundraiser still going on, I believe,
still
right?
Still going on. Extra innings into the month because we're not in great shape financially right now. So,
and
unfortunately,
pledge from your page, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you pledge on my playlist page over at WFMU.org, search Prove It All Night. Or I'll tweet it out or something. But support the state. No matter whose show you're pledging to, just support right now because it's a tough month.
Sure. Brett Davis.
Hey.
Every Wednesday night, 11 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
The special without Brett Davis.
Yes.
Well, stuff coming up? This will air on Friday, so this week's show will have happened by then. So that's in the rearview mirror. The show that you're thinking is tomorrow is happened 2 days ago when people. So how much time do you take to prepare a show, you and the staff of the show?
It really depends. We're a little behind just because we have a lot of other things going on. Mm-hmm. It should every week you could come to the tapings live. We tape in Columbus Circle. And then if you're listening to this on Friday, the day this comes out, we'll be in Philadelphia doing a live version of the show at the Good Good Comedy Theater. And then on the 17th, just before Mike's wrestling debut, the day before, we will be at Villain, which is a large warehouse space in Williamsburg that I'm terrified we won't fill. So please come to that, even if it's just out of pity or something. We'll have a lot of fun guests, Joe Firestone, Lorelei Ramirez, Colin Burgess, and a lot of maybe surprise celebrity guests that we're reaching out to desperately. So, yeah, that should be a fun one.
And you also have your you have a Snapchat thing, right?
I did, but it's gone. It's gone forever now.
Because that's what Snapchat is.
Yeah.
So it's literally gone in no form. It does not exist.
You know, I don't know. It was on the Comedy Central Snapchat, and now it's vanished forever, I think. New media.
You don't have copies of it?
I have copies of it.
So it's not gone. You'll put it up on YouTube at some point.
I saw Brett briefly in a, I guess it's the trailer for Gear. Anybody else watching it?
Wait, what was that?
John Glazer.
Yeah. I love it. Have you seen it yet?
Not yet.
Oh, it's great.
That's great.
It's great.
So briefly.
For a second, I thought you were doing like a Storage Wars thing. I thought you were doing Dave from. Remember, I put him on the mailing for some reason. I was like, to say like no dudes. I was just like, what if I put a picture of Dave from Storage Wars? Was that his name, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
The guy went, "Yep." Mitch, anything going on?
Yeah, I'm bartending at Pet Shop in Jersey City.
Okay.
No shows coming up with my band this year. We're writing a record right now, so okay. Taking a month or two off.
What does your band sound like?
Rock and roll stuff, punk influence, classic rock influence, a little bit of folk in there.
All right. Who's the best... compare. I know you don't like to compare, but what would be a reference point?
Get compared to Against Me, Clash stuff fairly often.
That's good, right?
Yeah, I like them.
Good. Pat likes
Thanks,
them.
Pat.
Where can people find out about the band?
Desir.bandcamp. It's desirdecir.bandcamp.com.
That's a little tricky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Two languages, it's real bad.
Yeah, that's what you call an audience frustrator.
Definitely, but it's Google unique.
Sure. No, then there's only one of you.
Yeah.
Once people figure out how to spell it, they've got a clear path
good and bad.
To it. Yeah. Yes. It's like once you're in, you're no stopping
forget.
You.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of getting that initial spelling right.
Totally.
It's fine. People will find it. And I want to tell everybody. What did I want to tell everybody? I don't know. I'm tired. I just think about the things that make me want to cry. And that song, Celluloid Heroes, makes me want to cry, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, Mike?
Yeah, it's a good one.
You know which part?
About Maryland?
No, not that part.
Oh.
Heroes by David Bowie makes me want to cry. Does it? Sometimes, yeah.
Mm. That's a good one. Brett, what song makes you want to cry?
I put the theme to Short Circuit.
Well, yeah. That'll just do it, just that.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to actually like pull it up and look for it, but I'm sure it would trigger emotions.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening to the Half Hour Power. Just talking about that till the theme ends. Goodbye.